I'm great. Nice to meet you, Miles.
Good, good. Nice to meet you too. Massive fan, have been for a long time.
Thank you.
How does it feel, by the way, when fans say that they've been fans for such a long time? Because we're talking like spanning over more than 10 years. Because that's the same for me.
Yeah, that's wild. It is a weird thing. I actually had a fan come up to me the other day on the street with his girlfriend. And he was like, dude, when I discovered you, I was 12. He's like, I'm 22 now. And he showed me he had like an everybody tattoo. And I was like, whoa, this is crazy. So I gave him a hug and said thanks. And apparently, when I turned around, like him, his girlfriend, like started crying. I didn't know this, but my security guard told me. And I was like, I am the luckiest guy in the world that I have fans like this. So you even bringing that up and reminding me of this fact means so much to me. So thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Congrats on the new independent debut album,
Yeah,
College
dude.
Park.
I'm pretty hype about it. It's definitely a. I've never done anything like that, you know? I mean, I guess technically with mixtapes, like before I had a deal, you know what I mean? So it's really cool to kind of go direct to consumer and just focus on my fans and have fun. That's where I'm at these days, you know? Leaving a major, I would be nothing without that record deal. They changed my life. Like it is what it is. And now that I'm here as a 33-year-old man with a family, I'm just focused on doing it my way and having fun.
Was it the funnest album to make, like to actually, the process of it all?
Man, I don't know. They're all fun. They really are. You know what I'm saying? It's like some albums I'm in Japan, some albums I'm recording through Europe, some out like, you know, so it's like they're all special and different. But yeah, I mean, this was great. I don't know if you could, if I could like, because almost like saying that one is the most fun is almost like picking a favorite. Like, oh, this was my favorite one. It's
They're
like,
like kids. You can't
that's
say,
what
you
I
can't pick one.
always say. Yeah, exactly. That's like, so damn, man, why are you asking me these hard ass questions?
Well, let's start about what it's all about. Tells the story of a road trip with you and your homies to an open mic night.
Yeah.
And it really, you're a great storyteller, but this is really not just telling a story within a song, which you do on every single song, but this is, really telling a story throughout the album. It takes you on a journey, and that's where I think you shine, and you always have shone.
Wow. Dude, thank you for being so nice, man. I appreciate that. Yeah, I really love putting my everything into my art, you know, whether it takes 3 years like College Park did, or it takes 10 days like Vinyl Days that my previous album did. Like I put my everything into it, you know what I mean? And the fact that you would say such a sweet thing lets me know, you know, I'm hitting the nail right on the head for the people who do love it and do enjoy it, such as yourself. So thank you, man. I think it's extremely important to try to do things differently. Like in a way, I like to bring cinematic elements to the albums that I do. You know, we live in a very playlist-driven world. Some people don't like skits at the end of shit. They're like, you should make the skits their own thing or this or that. And I'm like, I could no. Like I make albums. If you want some playlist shit, go listen to a playlist rapper, and that's fine because there's and also I make turn up fun songs for that occasion as well. So it's just like I make what I make when I make. For the people that enjoy me making it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So for somebody who might not like skits on an album, but they're obviously a huge Logic fan, well, they're more of probably like a Bobby Tarantino kind of. They like the more turn up or pop trap shit that's like super concise and to the point. So yeah, man, thank you.
Logic fans, the Rat Pack, they don't use the shuffle feature on Apple Music or Spotify. They just go straight through front to back because that's the way it was intended, like to be listened to, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think at least on an initial listen or an initial first few listens, I would like it to be, you know, consumed front to back. That's how I intended, you know, that's how I intend all my albums. But then afterwards, once you get it, then it's just like, all right, let me go listen to my favorites, you know? So, but yeah.
Let's talk about some of the collaborations in there. Obviously, everyone from the RZA to Seth MacFarlane. How do you get from, the founder of the Wu-Tang Clan to Peter Griffin from Family Guy on the same album?
I don't know, man. It's my Rolodex. I've been so lucky to just meet people. And the thing is, like, you know, I had known Seth for a little while now, you know, and he's known about me. And I just really genuinely care about people. So it's like the first time that me and Seth hung out, I wasn't like, hey, you want to be on my album? And da da da. It's just like, no, we talked about film. We talked about Sinatra. You know, we ate good food. We had a couple drinks. Like, that's what I care about most. And I think sometimes that's my downfall. And what I mean by that is You know, a lot of artists, they're just trying to make things happen, whoever, whenever. Oh, let's go to this party, meet this person. Okay, you're a producer. Oh shit, let me get this beat. Okay, let me go get this guy, get the hook. Let's do it. And they're like doing everything they can to make it. I made it. And I made it focusing on positivity. I made it focusing on the art, having fun, XYZ, and never using people. And so I think now I'm just at a place in my career where I'm kind of phoning in some calls, but in a fun way. Like, nobody's like thinking, yo, this song with Seth MacFarlane is going to blow up on the internet. Like, nobody's thinking that. And then the fact that that happens is like a really special thing. And it's even better when it's organic. It's even better when you and your friends have a couple of drinks, have a few laughs, and that turns into real art. It's not some like construct created in a fucking executive meeting, trickled down to an artist in a studio paid for by the label. Like, this is everything you're hearing from me, especially these days, is all from the heart and from a real place.
Not to stick too much on that collaboration, I'll touch on it quickly. How many people reacted to that and thought it was a Frank Sinatra sample? Because for a split second, I was like, wait, oh yeah, he can sing.
Yo, he can sing. I mean, it's so, yeah, it's definitely a hot take where you're like, wait, what? That's crazy. But I knew, because I'm the biggest Seth fan. Like, I have all his albums. I have shit on vinyl. Like, I really care about his music and I know him as a musician, you know what I mean? So he is like Sinatra in the flesh, the closest thing I think we have to it. So the fact that he even wanted to work with me was like a dream come true. And I went to his house and he recorded it like in his two-story library and shit. I was like, yo, this is crazy, man. Like, this is, you make me feel broke.
I saw that. I thought that was your house. You've only got a one-story library.
Oh, yeah. That was my house, yeah.
I just love the beginning of the album as well, and how, you know, it starts off with you know you're having this dream, you're doing this collaboration with the RZA, and then you get woken up and it's kind of is it like Logic in a different multiverse? Because you know your homies wake you up and go or you say, you know, I just had this dream where I did a collaboration with the RZA, and then I think someone says, could you imagine if you did a whole collaboration with the entire Wu-Tang Clan? But you already have.
See, but I hadn't in 2011.
Okay. I thought it was maybe you from like a different multi, like a different timeline.
No, it's the same verse. It's me being like, dude, I just had this dream. I was on the song with the RZA, like my favorite rapper. And then my friend's like, oh, could you imagine if you got them all on a song one day? It's almost like I did it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I can't believe it happened. So
yeah,
that's like a fun nod.
Yeah. It's like a post manifestation.
For sure. Yeah.
Are you looking forward to the tour?
Yeah, man, I'm really excited because I've been in arenas for like the last 6 years and they're great and I love it and that's super fun. But I really wanted to just scale it down and I guess they could call it like underplays and just I wanted to feel that connection with the fans again, man, because like it's great. Arenas are cool and they're so fun, but they're so far away from me, you know, and I want to be on those smaller stages and those theaters, you know, having fun, you know what I'm saying? 3,000 to 5,000 cap venues. It's a special thing. And am I looking forward to it? Understatement, dude. I'm hype. I can't wait.
You're obviously bringing Juicy J with you. You're going to be executive, or you have executive produced his upcoming album as well, right?
Yes, I have. And it's amazing, dude. It's so crazy. It's like literally, you've never heard Juicy J like this. Because Juicy J, he's like the trap king. He basically invented trap music. Like, he's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's ratchet and he'd be talking about some wild stuff and he's still doing that, but he's doing it over these like J Dilla Slum Village-esque, you know, beats and production. And I'm really excited for the world to see him in a different light. You know, I think it's going to be very exciting.
How did that happen then? So did he approach you? Did you send him some beats first and you were like, look, I think I have a vision for this? Or
no, see, that's another thing. It just happened. Like, me and Jay, man, we just be chilling and smoking joints and shit and just like vibing and stuff. And we've known each other years and years and years now. And then I think I tweeted out, I was like, I want to start producing for artists. And he hit me up and was like, what's up? Let's do it. And then I said, and then I forget how it happened. He came to my crib and then he kind of had like an idea for a song. Actually, the first song that we made, it's about his mother passing away, rest in peace. And I produced the beat on my kitchen table because he had the acapella for it. So I took his acapella that he rapped over like a different type of beat. And then I chopped it up. And then I was like, whoa, there's really something special here, Jay, about you rapping over trap beats at trap tempos than me taking your vocals, sampling them, and then doing like super hip hop, you know, kind of, I don't even want to call it boom bap or lo-fi, but just that, you know what I mean, that musical hip hop shit. And it worked so well. And then we did that for the whole album and it was just so special.
I can't wait to hear it, man. That's going to be epic. And also, you know, you've got a lot on your plate right now. The new project, Halfbreed, with C-Doc Castro as well, the EP that just came out. Everyone thought it was an April Fool's joke, and you were like, nope.
Yeah, that was funny. I feel like, I feel like that's my brother. And you know, we've had our ups and downs. He went to prison for a while, like got out, a changed man. And so I used that opportunity, you know, to mend things, mend our relationship, and then educate him on ownership, publishing, royalties, masters, splits, really letting him know what's up and seeing that, you know, this has been his dream forever and he's never released a project or an album or anything like that. So I was like, you know what, let's do it, man. I'm gonna put you on a big stage, but you gotta be ready. And so I've just kind of been preparing him mentally, you know, emotionally as an artist, like, buckle up, you know, and we put this out. This little 3P, that's just for fun. That's an amuse-bouche, man. That's like, we didn't even get started yet. But the album is crazy. The album is done. The Halfbreed album is finished. So who knows when that's coming, but it's going to be dope.
Aside from you being one of my favorite artists, you're also one of my favorite YouTubers because you just have fun. There's no, it doesn't seem like there's any structure to any of your videos, but in I mean that in the best way possible.
I know what you mean. Yeah. I just have fun and I do what I do, man. And I just think it's a direct to consumer thing. It's like, I'm not out here playing to the internet. I'm not out here playing to tastemakers or, you know, gatekeepers. I'm playing to the Rat Pack. I'm playing to my fans. And so any of them that turn up and show up and represent, that's who I'm doing it for. So, you know, I'm not worried about views or how many or what, where, or this or that. I'm just having fun, man, because that's what it's about. But luckily, I've been able to afford such comfort. You know, I grinded for a whole decade and then stepped away from the game, had a child, realized what is the most important thing ever. And that is family, fans, health, happiness, positivity. And that's what I'm living by every day, bro.
I love it. How are you juggling being a dad and being a producer, a rapper, a performer, a YouTuber, all of the above?
I'm doing great, man. I'm killing it, man. Balance is everything. You know what I mean? Some days I see my son and I spend some time with him, but I feel bad because I wish I could spend more. But then there's other days that I completely, dedicate to just him. Then there's days that it's just us and the family. And then there's days when I got to go to work, days like this. You know, before I came to this interview, my son was like, "Daddy, no, don't go, please, don't go." And I'm like, "I'm sorry, son. Like, I have
now to." I feel bad.
No, I don't feel bad. It breaks my heart, but he's also got to learn. You know, his dad works hard so that he can be blessed enough to be in a position that I never was as a child. You know, so I'm not perfect. I don't claim to be. I never will say that I am. But I think I'm a damn good father, a good husband, a good man, and I'm just trying to do the best that I can to implement that in my music, my art, my craft, my message, and every facet of my everyday life.
Love it all. Thank you so much for talking to us today, Logic. Appreciate it.
Oh, shit. That's it?
We can go again. You want to do some more?
Damn, that was a good interview, man. I had
Let's do some more. Hey, I actually did want to ask you about The Last of Us and what you thought of the actual, you know, the first season, you know, after you being in the game.
Yeah. I was in the second one. I was actually such a fan of the first game. I've played it upwards of 20 times now in the last 10 years. I was in the second game. So that was like a dream come true, somehow manifesting that. And then, yeah, seeing the show was just, it was really special. And here's what's crazy. The show is incredible. It's like one of the best series I've ever seen in my life. So hear me when I say that. I am obsessed with it. But if the game is a 10, the show is a 5. And that's what's crazy, because the game is like the greatest shit ever. And the show is the greatest shit ever. Like, they really, like, there wasn't one thing where I watched it and was like, they forgot this or they should have added that. No, they have it all. I think the difference between the game and the television show is you get to be the characters. And it's also the journey and getting past clickers and zombies and all this other stuff together. that creates this bond, and the dialogue, even just walking through a forest or a city street, is something that's really beautiful. But they truly did capture that in, what is it, 10 episodes. Like, they did it. They did it. I couldn't be happier with it. So, yeah.
Would you care to play your character in season two?
me and the creator already talked about it. So we'll see what's up. You
know what I'm saying? That would be epic. So if that show is a 5, do you have a show that's a 10?
No, I'm saying, oh shit. I mean, it's a 10 show. I'm just saying it's a 10 show.
Yeah.
But compared to the game, it's a 5. You know what I mean? So
I got
that's one of the best shows I've ever seen. It's really like, I'm obsessed with it. It's amazing.
What else are you watching in your free time?
I don't know. My money go up. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not really watching too much. I'm playing Fortnite a lot, actually, in my free time. It's been fun. And yeah, I've just been vibing with that.
I love it. Well, you got to make the most of your free time before you go on tour. It's going to be nonstop. And yeah, that tour better be coming to Canada eventually. You got to come up here.
Yeah, I know, dude. We're going to make something work. I'll do like select. I'll like make it like super special, and I'll just come up and just do a whole Canada tour one day.
Yes, you let us know. Logic, thank you so much. I won't take up any more of your time now that I know that your son's in the other room waiting for you.
Dude, thank you. I appreciate you. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Thank you for caring enough. Thank you for saying the super nice stuff that you just said to me, bro. Like, this is what it's all about. Like, I'm not on the internet. I don't see what people are saying. I don't this, I don't that. So to have a genuine face-to-face vibe connection and to hear it straight direct from the source that, like, you enjoy my music, thank you, man, because that's why I make the music. I make it for people like you. And you saying that to me makes my whole day. So I appreciate you. Thank you.
It was a pleasure to meet you. I hope we get to do it in person next time. Logic, thank you so much. Congratulations on College Park.
All right, man. Peace and hair grease. Stay awesome.
Yes. All right. Connect soon. Bye.